Our reading this morning is in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And if you've been looking at the church at home notes already, that's all right. I'm not going to speak exactly those words, but that is on this very passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 20 to 26, or I'm going to read them to you from verse 20 to 26. Now, just to explain, Paul is writing to Timothy, the older man at the end of his life and ministry, talking to the younger man with the responsibility on his shoulders. So it says in chapter 2, verse 1, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's surely got to be a prayer for all of us, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And in verse 14, "Keep reminding them of these things." So what we're reading is for all. It's not just for Timothy, or not just for leaders, it's for all. "Keep reminding them." Verse 20. "In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads and pray again. Let's just take a few moments to collect our own thoughts, to turn them in prayer to the Lord. The Church at Home notes this morning give that sort of that open-ended prayer to say, pray a prayer of praise, and then pray a prayer of petition. And I think sometimes we get it the wrong way around. Sometimes the needs and the petitions and the burdens seem greater when we ought to, first of all, focus on the greatness of our God. So let me lead you in doing that. Our loving Heavenly Father, Almighty God, there is no one like you. You are our creator, maker, our sustainer. Lord, you keep us and watch over us. You've brought us together here this morning in this place, and we thank you for it. We thank you for every breath that we breathe, which is a gift from you. We thank you for your goodness to us, for family and friends, and fellowship, for that around us that makes life so wonderful, so such a blessing. We thank you most of all for sending Jesus, your Son, for without him, where would we be? But through him, Lord, we just thank you that we can come to you in this way. And not just now, but every moment of every day, and indeed in all eternity, to be in your presence. Truly wonderful is what lies ahead for your children. We praise and we bless you for the way that you are at work in our lives, in our church, and indeed through us in our world. There is much, of course, that perturbs us, much that darkness that disturbs us. But Lord, you have put your light in the darkness, and the light, Lord, will not be put out, but will prevail. And we just pray that the light will shine more and more from our lives and from our church. Lord, we are a people of different needs, going through different situations. Nobody's life is exactly the same as somebody else's. But thank you that you know all about us, and you know the concerns. You know what's going on for us as a nation. And again, we continue to pray for comfort for the Queen and the royal family. Lord, you know others amongst us have lost loved ones in recent days, and we pray for your continued presence, Lord, that there would be a comfort, a help through the grieving process. And Lord, you would be Lord, with those who can't be here this morning for various reasons. Thank you, Lord, for those who can. Thank you for the encouragement we can bring to each other as we run the race together, as we go on together in the faith. So bless, we pray, and may your word be proclaimed not just here, but across our land. Our Lord, may your kingdom be extended. Lord, may your will, your purposes be fulfilled. Hear our own personal prayers and cries to you. We thank you that you are here with us. And we thank you for the blessing, Lord, of knowing that. Have your hand upon us for good. And indeed to bring about glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a change takes place in every born-again Christian. What a change takes place. Like the caterpillar and the butterfly, things are never the same again. That's true, isn't it? Sometimes we kind of go on in our Christian lives and kind of forget what the Lord has done in our lives, as well as what he's doing in our lives. The old has gone, the new has come, as the Apostle Paul puts it. There is a transformation, there is a change, there is a freedom, there is life that we now know that we didn't know before. Yet we are still a work in progress, or at least I am, and I don't think I'm the only one. Yeah, you've still got a bit of spiritual scaffolding up here and there. A work in progress. What we had is nothing compared to what we now have, though, in Christ. Ruth was playing earlier on that lovely chorus, "All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I've counted loss. Spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus. Knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. My joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord." You know, sometimes they criticize modern choruses, say they don't say much, but this one says quite a bit, I think, in that wonderful verse. As a believer, if that's what you are this morning, I'm making that comment, but you may not yet be at that point. But if you are a believer, what we have, we must hold on to. Okay? We must hold on to, and we must progress. We must move on in our faith. Now, Paul lists four things in verse 22, and this does tie in with the Church at Home notes if you have them. 2 Timothy 2:22. You won't forget where this text is. It's all the twos in Timothy. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Four things that Paul says to Timothy and to the church, these are the things you are to pursue. These are the things you're after. These are the things you want to see more of. These are the things you want to develop. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Now, these are ours in Christ. This is not a message this morning, do your best and you'll be all right. These are gifts in Christ to receive. But if you have then received them, these are things to work into your life and work out in our community. We must hold on and seek to grow and develop in each of these things. Now, just over a year ago, I started something on WhatsApp. I'm still enjoying it a little bit, but sometimes I do wonder. It was that quiz thing. Now, some of you, I don't know whether you're just living for the quiz. I hope not. Live for Christ, a lot better than living for the quiz. Okay? Quiz questions every day. I'll let you into a secret if you don't know. Some of you do already. The quizzes now, I don't make them. I just click on something and there they are. But in the early days, I was literally, you know, scurrying around thinking, what 10 questions can we ask today? Not the best use of my time, perhaps. But now, the quiz goes on through the week. And as I say, it's a challenge. And it's something to, you know, get your brain ticking over with. Now, I know, having visited some of you and spoken with you, many of you like the quiz shows on TV. And I'm not averse to them myself. There's one quiz program that's is actually on BBC Two, which probably tells you all you need to know. It's called Only Connect. And I don't know if you've seen that quiz show, but that is another league. That is the Premier League of quizzing. You know, they don't ask you what colour daisies are on that quiz. It's really mind-bending, mind-stretching. And they have one of the rounds, and they have 16 words on a wall. And it sounds very easy. The teams just have to group them in fours, the four answers that fit together, and then give an explanation of what the category, what the link between the four is. I just want to put Paul's four things before you again. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Imagine them there before you on the wall. And you pick them out. And then the associate minister asks you, what is the connection? Why those four things, Paul? Of all the four things you could choose to pursue, why have you chosen these four things? How do they fit together? What is the category that links them together? I want to give you four answers, or four possible answers to what links them together. Firstly, and I hope you can see this, they are all God-given gifts. God-given gifts. God is all of them. He is righteous. He is faithful. He is love. He is our peace. And he gives these qualities, these gifts to us. God is righteous and gives righteousness. Paul says to the Romans, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. God is righteous in all his ways and gives his righteousness to us, the unrighteous, through Jesus. He is faithful and he enables faith. You know, by grace we are saved through faith, and that a gift from God. You know, we're not saved through our own intellectual skill, ability. It's a gift of God by his grace through faith. And even the very faith to believe is a gift from God. 1 John 4 verse 16, three wonderful words. God is love. And then it goes on to say, we love because he first loved us. So these four things, including the peace, mustn't forget that one, the Lord of peace himself will give you peace at all times and in every way, Paul writes to the Thessalonians. God is all these things. These are gifts of God to us. He gives himself to us in these gifts. So that would be the first answer. What links these four? Well, they are God's gifts and God's character. Just stop for a minute and consider God's generosity in this, to give us these things. To give us these things through his Son, through the suffering of his Son at Calvary. Not just wrapped up and given any old time, but through the cross we are made righteous. Through the cross we have that faith to believe. Through the cross we know God's love. Through the cross, we have peace with God through Christ. So these four go together because they are God-given gifts. But hang on a minute. There is something more that the Apostle Paul says about these gifts, about these things. Now, Paul writes a lot, or quite a lot, about Roman soldiers in his letters. Now, the reason for that, he was under house arrest, and there he is chained to a Roman soldier. And he talks about the armour of God, for example, in Ephesians 6. And he speaks there about a breastplate of righteousness, a cover for the heart. But then he writes to the Thessalonians and he says, put on faith and love as a breastplate. There's two of the other four. And then later he will write with the Philippians and he'll say, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so our magnificent four are all with reference to covering and protecting our hearts. So there's another category, not just gifts, but gifts to protect our hearts. Because Satan is our adversary, and he does seek to attack our hearts, to make them stop beating for Christ, to make them cold in love towards others. We need God's gracious protection in these gifts. We need to keep coming back to Calvary. We need to keep applying what Jesus has done to our own hearts. The breastplate of righteousness, of faith, of love, that which guards our hearts, gives us peace. Again, all comes from there. Another answer. And these are, of course, not contradictory answers. They complement each other. They go together. These things are gifts from God with a purpose, to guard and protect your heart, your relationship with God and with one another. The third answer that we could give to this is very much found in verse 22. They are all given for our growth as Christians. Flee youthful desires. Now, whatever age or stage of life you are, you can have youthful desires. You know what youthful desires are? That self, stubborn, I can do it. I don't need anybody else's help. That a youthful desire to do it my own way. Flee that. Flee self. Flee living that way. Look to the Lord. We need his help in all that we do. I mentioned in the Church at Home notes the story of Lot and Lot's wife. Looking back, turned to a pillar of salt. She was called to flee and leave, but she didn't, with disastrous consequences. Think about the Israelites. They were called to leave Egypt. They did leave Egypt, but Egypt was still in the hearts of many of them. Flee. It's a strong word, isn't it? Don't dawdle. Don't amble along, says Paul. Flee. Flee from this. And pursue righteousness. Pursue faith and love and peace. No ambling, no dawdling, but wholehearted commitments. So that you might grow spiritually, so that you might grow as a Christian. Got many examples in the Bible of different characters who grew spiritually in different ways. Time will not allow to go into this too much, but just to say, with regard to righteousness, I would choose the Apostle Paul. Because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees to begin with. He thought he had righteousness nailed down completely. But ultimately, as the years go on, he sees that's not how it has been. The Lord Jesus Christ is his righteousness. And he, the worst of all sinners. He saw his need of his Saviour. That's not to say he didn't see the need on the Damascus Road. I'm sure he did. But even as time went on, he just became aware of just how grateful he was and ought to be for what Jesus had done. With regard to a story of growing in faith, well, there are so many. Perhaps post-resurrection, Thomas is a good example there. A growing in love, post-resurrection, Peter, the challenge to love the Lord more than these. There's always room to grow. You know, think of it for your own life, you know. How are you getting on? Have things moved on since day one of your Christian life? We're not to lose our love that we had then, but certainly it can deepen and broaden, get wider, far-reaching. It grows. And as for peace, well, all of the disciples and probably every character in the Bible, actually, 365 fear nots in the Bible say it all, that we need to grow in peace, in trusting the Lord when we face days of turmoil. But how fast are we moving spiritually? Are we fleeing what is behind us and pursuing what is ahead? I mentioned in the Church at Home notes the Olympic Games and the pursuit cycling race, the speeds that they go, and they literally have their heads down and they are going full pelt. You know, there's not somebody at the back looking over the shoulder at all, actually. They have fled what's behind and they are pursuing the time, the finish line. They're going full out to win the race. So these are all given for our spiritual growth. Yes, they protect our hearts, but they also are to be lived out in our daily lives. And that leads me to the fourth and final point this morning, that they are all given for our church growth, for us to grow as a church. Because these verses are actually addressing church life. Not just an individual Christian on a little holy island somewhere, but regular meeting brothers and sisters. Because it says in verse 22, pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Let's pursue these things together. Now I have to say, I have to confess, hand on heart, that when I wrote the Church at Home notes, my thinking and application was very positive. And it was, we're in this together. And I stand by what I've written there, by the way. We're in this together. But the more I've read this over the last few weeks, and because of the context of squabbling and arguments and fallings out, I think there is another side to this. We are to pursue these things even in the difficult times when we're not seeing eye to eye with each other. Every believer is to flee and pursue individually, of course. Yet the Christian life is not lived in isolation. We're a body of many parts. Christ is the head of that body. And the parts of the body, though different, work together. It's the only way they work is actually to work together, sharing life, pain and pleasure together. That being the case, when there are times when things don't seem to add up and we're not always on the same page on certain issues, these qualities must be held on to because they take us back to the cross. They take us back to what the Christian faith is all about. There will be certain issues that you will disagree with me on and I with you and you with others. We're not a sausage factory here. We're not making something where everybody is exactly the same. But to be part of the church family, to be part of the church, is to have recognized what Jesus Christ did at Calvary on the cross for us. And so righteousness, faith, love, and peace can be known even in the midst of disagreements at times. Righteousness on the right course. We read in that passage what Timothy was to do. There would be some who would disagree, and he would try and encourage them and help them to see, to rescue them. That just shows us that our Christian lives have an impact, or should have an impact, on those around us. What we do and how we do it impacts the lives of others. So it isn't just a personal choice, my hobby horse, if it's going to impact and affect others. We need to choose the right course, God's word, the paths of righteousness that he lays out for us. We are to be a people of faith. Now sometimes we bubble up with faith, we can believe for everything and anything, and other times it's hard. And that's why we need each other. We need the right confidence. I mentioned this before. I used to know a lady in the West Midlands who, with regard to Jonah and the whale, said she would believe if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale. Now, some people have trouble with a whale or a big fish swallowing a man. But she was basically saying, well, I would believe, you know. And you think, well, hang on a minute. That sort of thinking might sound like great faith, but to somebody who's struggling, that just will switch them off completely. We have to be careful that we have the right confidence in what God has said in his word. That we have a love, the right concern for one another. We love one another as Jesus has loved us. And if you just take a page in the Gospels and read about Jesus' life, you will see he is loving the unlovely everywhere he goes. He doesn't just pick nice people to love. And with regard to peace, the right conformity. We avoid arguments and disagreements. That's the context. Because you can win an argument but lose the battle, can't you? You can think, yeah, I made my point. And then the other person goes away crushed and never comes back. And really, that's not very helpful. So these are given, these qualities, for personal growth as a Christian, but also for us together in our church life. Fight the good fight with all thy might, says the hymn writer. Christ is thy strength, Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. The Apostle Paul, in his writings to Timothy, makes mention of the battle that he has fought, and the race he has run. And if you saw the funeral of Prince Philip, you would have heard Hugh Edwards actually using those words, quoting them. He's fought the fight, he's run the race, and he's kept the faith. Well, all I know is those in Christ who do this, the breastplate of righteousness, the battle armor, becomes the crown of righteousness. The faith, the love, and the peace become complete in our Lord's presence. This is what we're heading for. This is where we want to be. So let's keep pedaling. Let's keep pursuing. Flee what's behind and pursue God's best for you, for me, for his church, and for his world. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that by your Spirit you apply your word to our lives individually and corporately too as your people. We thank you for what you have blessed us with, all our blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the righteousness in which we stand through our faith in him. Thank you for the faith that we have. Help us to understand and grow deeper, Lord, in that faith. And help us to know your love and peace worked out in our lives and amongst us, so the world can see the difference that you make to our lives day by day. Seal this word in our hearts, Lord, we pray. Help us in the coming week, in the things we do, in the places we go. Go before us. Have your hand upon us. And Lord, help us to hold on to what we have and indeed to grow even more. A deeper love for you, Lord Jesus. To grow in our faith, to grow in every aspect of our Christian life. And bless us, Lord, as a church together. Lord, help us. Thank you for the different parts of the body of Christ in this room, in this place. May that develop more and more so that your will is done, that we are effective and efficient, bringing glory and honor to your name. So watch over us now, bless us and keep us. May your face continue to shine upon us and grant us to know your presence as we part until we meet each other once again. Keep with us and keep us going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.